Welcome to WFCO's Community Accent, your daily connection to the news and events happening in and around Fairfield County. And now, Community Accent.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on the Monday edition of Community Accent on Fairfield County's refreshing 90.9. We are connecting you with your community every Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. on your dial at 90.9, on the TuneIn radio app, and on the web at refreshing909.com. You can listen any of those ways. This is Tina Gang, your morning host, and today we have Amy Lively with us. And no, it's not for the morning gang. She's our Tuesday co-host. Today we're actually talking to the author, Amy Lively, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. How are you, Amy?
I'm great. It's actually the same person who does show up today and Tuesday. So it's all me.
But it different, is the same person. Today. That's right. She just has a different hat on today. And we are so excited. This thing has been in the process for so long, and I know people are so excited. Everybody who knows you is just cheering on the outcome of many years of labor of love.
It is many, many years. I mean, from the very first thought of, hey, there are people living around me that maybe I should know their name. That's been a long time coming. And then just the whole process of putting those thoughts into writing and then getting anybody to actually want to print them, let alone read them. So it's been a long journey. You look back and you see like a finished product in your hand, and you can't forget that it was just one single day at a time.
Yes, so true. Before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, your history, and who Amy Lively is?
Well, I've been driving down these streets of Lancaster since I was 8 years old in 1978 when my family moved here. So I lived here pretty much my whole life, moved around just a little bit, married my elementary school sweetheart,
and
that has been
sweet.
In third grade, and we've been dating since I was 15, and we celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary this summer. We have one daughter who graduates from high school at Fairfield Christian Academy next month at the end of May, and so that's very exciting. Our families are here, parents, and my husband's sister, my brother's out in Colorado, so deep, deep roots in this community, which is just where God put me, where he said, you know what, this is where you need to be in order to understand this whole concept of love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen. And I believe I know you serve in ministry.
I do. I have my degree in practical ministry, and I am on staff at Life Church Ohio, which is just north of town on Route 37. Incredible congregation and great people there who not only taught me a lot about ministry and loving my neighbor and serving the people around me, but then actually were not afraid to release me to do it. And that was a huge blessing. So my Life Church family has been a big part of this book, and letting me take time to write and time to travel. And so I love them for many reasons, and that is one of them.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this story starts a long time ago, and you actually have a product called the Neighborhood Cafe, a little kit that goes out. Tell us, how did all that start?
The whole thing started? Okay. Well, the whole concept and the lessons that I learned in this book started in my living room when I was really just convicted of the need to get to know my neighbors. And what I had in mind to do in my neighborhood was to start a neighborhood Bible study, because I had so many things that the Lord had done in my life. Things that he had taught me, battles he had won for me, scriptures we had studied together, just the difference that Jesus Christ had made in my life, in my marriage, in my relationships, in my eternity, and I wanted to share that with people. And so I went to a conference, and I heard these words, neighborhood Bible study. I thought, oh, that is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I was so excited. I knew what I was going to say in the invitation. I drew out a little, logo of what it was, and I was going to call it the Rosewood Cafe, because we live on Rosewood Drive in Lancaster. And after just months of debating with God and just realizing that this was risky, this was going to take a lot of time, people could say no, people could say yes, everything
that, that's the worst part.
Success or failure were equally terrifying to me. Anyway, finally stepped out and invited 89 neighbors over for coffee, and we just had an open house. Just, people have open houses when they move away from the neighborhood, they put their realtor in there, they vacate the property, and then a lot of times it's the neighbors who show up at that open house to see what the house is like. And I do that in my neighborhood.
Right.
So I thought, well, let's have an open house when we're there. This used to be very common around Christmas time. People would hold open house parties. I thought, well, I'm just going to do it in the middle of the year. And lo and behold, they actually came. They actually came. And I met so many women in the process of inviting them and then opening my home. And that was the beginning of just really an eye-opening, heart-opening, life-opening experience to say, wow, there are incredible people around me. And the command for me to love them, it's not just a test. It's not just a measure. That it's not just a random command that God gives us to prove our love for him. It really makes perfect sense. I need to know them because they have blessed me in so many different ways. I've met every kind of person, every kind of family, and have been so enriched by the friendships that now have come from just literally knocking on their door. So we did start a Bible study. Many women came to the open house. Fewer came back for the Bible study. I've done it over and over and over again in the last years in our neighborhood. And I've gotten to know many incredible people. So,
you know, in the open house part, that was the very first step. Did you invite both men and women, or was this a women's thing?
I invited women. Mm-hmm. I invited women for me. You could easily do it for couples or for families. It just depends on, you know, mm-hmm. your neighborhood, your family situation, and what works best for you.
Yeah, whether you're going to have it during the day or in the evening when your husband is home.
Right, and if you don't have to continue with the neighborhood Bible study, you can just have an open house, just a little party to get to know people. You can have a bingo party. You can have a family game night. You can have pizza night, cookout. There, I give so many ideas in the book because I know that what I did isn't, it's not a cookie cutter mold that everybody can do or should do or wants to do. So that still doesn't excuse us, though, from
being in relationship
with people.
Absolutely. So an interesting point then is you sent 89 invitations out. That seems like a lot. And also, did you mail them or did you go door to door?
Well, the first time I did it, I put them on the mailbox. I should qualify that. There are federal regulations for putting things in.
Yes.
They put them on the mailbox. It was a time factor for me. It was also a fear factor. And I really have found that you have to cast a pretty wide net to get, you know, a small number of people. Good people are busy. So the first time I put them on the mailboxes, in future years, I have gone door to door and just literally met people. Some people come, some people don't come, but still I have met them and we exchange names, and my neighbors have been so pleasant. I've never had anyone be rude to me, unkind to me, mean to me. I've never felt threatened. That's my neighborhood though. Your neighborhood might be very, very different. We have a neighborhood newsletter that we've developed, and we have a neighborhood Facebook page. So lots of different ways to get the word out. By far the most effective way is to personally invite people. See, I think love has a face.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christians, that face is Jesus Christ. Love has a face. Love has a name. Love has a place. Love is tangible. It's touchable. It's tasteable. And so I think we have kind of spiritualized this love your neighbor into something that is, it's a prayer. And you know what? Certainly it is. It is prayer. Love is sending a check, you know, and it is practical financial support, supporting missionaries and people around the world. It is that. But we have made it so ethereal that it's not practical and it's not real. So when I think when Jesus said, love your neighbor, when he just given the story of the Good Samaritan, of the man who he stopped, he took his time, he gave his resources, he got dirty, he got bloody, he carried someone on their donkey, he spent the whole night with them, it was an all-encompassing investment into people's lives that they could say, oh, I remember that person. I remember that person. They really showed love to me.
Well, and so many people maybe have a desire to do that on some level, but they don't know how to approach people. So this book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird, actually gives people tools and the ideas to use. And that's a lot of what you did when you first started this. So you had your first Bible study.
Everything I did, I kept track of. If I created an invitation, I saved it. If I had something that worked really well, I wrote it down. If there was something that completely bombed and it was a failure, I wrote that down too, because I wanted to remember. And so I put all my mistakes into a box. I put everything I learned into a box. And the little Rosewood Cafe on my street, which is still going on, by the way, we just met Friday, it became an international ministry called the Neighborhood Cafe, where I could teach women everything I had learned and how they could do the same thing in their own neighborhood as well. So there are neighborhood cafes in Alaska and Florida and California and lots in Ohio and Texas, lots of states in between, and then Canada and Australia as
that
well.
That is so cool.
It is really incredible. But it shows me, though, that women really do want to love their neighbor. And, you know, we feel guilty about it. We feel convicted about it. We know we ought to do it. We just don't know how to do it. And so I wanted to put tools in their hands, something literally that they could print and hold and see and deliver and interact, and that the end result would not be, you know, a check in the mail or a prayer, that it would be a woman sitting across from you in your house or at a coffee shop or in your neighborhood park, where you just start talking, how are you? Just like Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. Hey, What are you talking about as you walk along the road?
Yes, so true. And you have all these tools on your website. It used to be your website originally was the Neighborhood Cafe.
It was just the Neighborhood Cafe. It was, my ministry was how to start a women's neighborhood Bible study. Well, now it's just kind of exploded into something bigger and broader than that. And the new website is howtoloveyourneighbor.com. And there you'll find tips for introverts and extroverts and women and families and couples to do together. Many, many different tools, links to other resources where other people have great tools and ideas for you to implement in your neighborhood. And then you can still find out how to start a neighborhood cafe Bible study, and you can download everything you need to get started right there on the website.
I love that. Tell us, first of all, what's in the kit and what they can get online through your resources.
Okay. All you have to do is give your email address, and then you can download an invitation. You just print it out, and it says, please come to an open house, and you fill in your name and date and time and give them to your neighbors. They can download a planning guide, which is a just has kind of some of the practical things that helped me over the years. I'm a list maker. You know, I like to check things off. So it's got scriptures you can pray for your neighborhood, because I don't want to discount the prayer part. I'm just saying, the Lord said, why are you praying? Get up and go.
Right.
You know, it's time to go. Even when Jesus said, pray for the harvest, you know, pray for the workers of the harvest, the very next verse says, now go.
Yes.
I'm sending you.
You're the worker.
Yeah. So the planning guide, even things on how to get your house ready, how to line up childcare if you have kids that might be coming, how to choose a topic if you're going to continue to meet together. And then it also has just a little greeting card, a follow-up, because, again, that love is tangible. It's a relationship. It's not a campaign or a one-time an event. It's an ongoing investment. And then I'm going to be adding some more tools soon. I have even just a little magazine that you can download that has some things that you just might talk about when you gather with women, whether it be one or two or three for the very first time that you sit down together. It's called Espresso.
Very cool. All of this is available on howtoloveyourneighbor.com. Amy's book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird, is now available on Amazon. It's on her website. It's wherever books are sold. It's so exciting. And kudos, it has made number one in its category on Amazon. A very exciting event.
It is. It's Amazon has these lists of hot new releases, and so it's anywhere from 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5. It like changes constantly,
yes.
So you don't put a lot of stock in there, but it's exciting,
yeah,
just to see that people are like kind of getting it, like, oh. And it's got a really catchy title that makes it fun, and the whole don't be weird part, I think, is what we're afraid of.
That's right. We're going to talk more about that part when we come back on Fairfield County's Refreshing 90.9, talking to Amy Lively, the author of How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird, on Fairfield County's Refreshing 90.9 FM.